Grace to you and peace from God, the King, above, and from Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Well, I'd like to talk with you this morning about rewards and punishments on the day when our Lord Jesus comes back to judge the world. And especially ask this question, will there be degrees in the punishments for the wicked in hell for their sins? And will there be degrees of rewards for the righteous in heaven for their righteous deeds? So are there actually degrees in hell and degrees of rewards then also in heaven? Or is everything just the same? Is everybody who goes to condemnation all have the same punishment? And does everybody who goes to heaven all have the same reward up there? Or are there differences and varying degrees in these things? This is so important for us to ask. Super important. Because not only do a lot of Christians not really clearly know the answer, or they don't live according to it, but if we don't know, we're not going to live as straight and clear as God wants us to live. So let's take a look and understand the answer this today, not only from the Old Testament, but from the New Testament, Jesus and the apostles, so that we can understand this matter clearly. The truth about it, take it to heart and act rightly on account of it. So, are there degrees of punishments for the wicked in hell? And are there degrees of rewards for the righteous in heaven? Let's talk about it and see what we can learn about that today. First of all, as I think about it, there are a lot of Christians who would say there are no degrees in hell or in heaven. They would say, for example, with respect to hell and sin, they say, well, sin is just a sin, it's just a sin. It's all equally evil, and the punishment for it is condemnation, and so the punishments in hell are all the same for all those who go there. Where do they get such a thought? Well, you know, it's true that sin is a sin is a sin, and that all sin is evil. All sin leads to hell. And the Bible says, Ezekiel 18, the soul that sins shall die. And the punishment for sin, according to the scriptures, for all who sin and aren't saved, would be, as Paul says, they shall suffer the punishment of eternal destruction and exclusion from the presence of the Lord. That's 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. So in that sense, is all sin equal? Yes, in that sense. Does everybody receive the same judgment? In that sense, yes, because they're all going to the same one place. How about for the righteous, for you, for the saints, for those who are saved in Jesus Christ? Well, they would say that the reward for the saints is the same for everybody up in heaven. And in a sense, that's true. Because how do we get to heaven? Not based on our own righteousness, but the righteousness of Christ, the free gift that God gives to us when we believe on Him. Namely, He clothes you in Christ's righteousness. And so you and I and you and you and you and you all have the same righteousness. It's the one that's been gifted to us, Christ's righteousness, to save us because we've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, we all have the same reward, namely eternal life. And no one's going to be boasting over anybody else up there on that day. We all rejoice together equally in the Savior. And so in those senses, you know, there is an equality, certainly, for those who go down and for those who go up. But now let's ask a little more specific question, namely, when Christ comes back to judge the world, will all who go to hell have equal degrees of severity in their punishment there for their sins, or will there be variations? You ever thought about that? And will those who go to heaven, the righteous, when Christ comes back on that day and judges, will they all have equal degrees of rewards into eternity for their deeds done here? Or will there be variations? You ever thought about that? Well, let's take a look and see what the scripture would teach us. So here we're not so much saying how to get to hell or how to get to heaven, but are there variations when you actually get there? Let's go first to the Old Testament. You with me? Let's take a look and see if there are variations and degrees of sin in the Old Testament and carrying varying punishments according to them. Now, to prick up your ears, I decided to start with, well, sex. Okay? Exodus 22, verse 16. Let's read this. God has this to say. He says, "If a man seduces a virgin who is not betrothed and lies with her," you know, has carnal intimate relations, "he shall give the marriage present for her and make her his wife." So this is the sin of fornication. Let's go to another sexual sin in Leviticus 20, verse 10. "If a man commits adultery with the wife of his neighbor, both the adulterer and the adulteress shall be put to death." So these are both sexual sins, aren't they? Fornication and adultery. Are they equal in God's eyes? They're both sins. They both have a judgment, but they're different degrees because one is lighter and one is heavier. You know, it's a sin to sleep with someone outside of marriage, but if she's an unbetrothed virgin, God says, you can marry her. You still live. But if you sleep with a man, with a woman who's, well, a man in their days, right? With a woman who is another man's wife, then that carries the penalty of death. It's a severer judgment. They're both sins, but one has a severer judgment than the other. So are there degrees in the Old Testament? Yeah. Let's take a look at another one. Let's look at murder. Exodus 21 says, "Whoever strikes a man shall, so that he dies, shall be put to death. But if he did not lie in wait for him, but God let him fall into his hand, then I will appoint for you a place to which he may flee." So here we have two different situations for murder. One is first degree murder, where it's premeditated. You harbored destruction and anger against this person, and you planned and plotted to kill him, and you strike him down. He says that person should be put to death. But second degree murder is mentioned here, namely, you didn't plan on it, you didn't intend it, it came up in the circumstances of the moment. In that case, it's a lighter sentence. He can flee to a city of refuge and save his life. So are there degrees in this one too? Sure there are. Certain ones carry a heavier punishment. Let's look at Deuteronomy 25. God says, "If there is a dispute between men and they come into court, and the judges decide between them, acquitting the innocent and condemning the guilty, then if the guilty man deserves to be beaten, the judge shall cause him to lie down and be beaten in his presence with a number of stripes in proportion to his offense." So say that, in proportion to.
In proportion to.
So God is saying, in some cases, it's going to take a severe punishment for a worse sin. For a lighter sin, it can be a less one in proportion to. According to. Why does God do that? Why does God give such things, differences? You know why? Because he's good. He's a just judge. The Lord, our God, loves justice, says the scripture. And Job 34 says, according to the work of a man. Notice, according to the work of a man, God will requite him. And according to his ways, he will make it to befall him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne, Psalm 97 says. So there are varying degrees of punishments because God is good. He's just. He takes into account people's circumstances, the intents of their hearts, the whole surrounding everything. And because he's good and just, he can do that perfectly and gives a just retribution, the sentence that fits the crime. Some are heavier, some are lighter. So are there degrees in the Old Testament for sin and punishments? Yeah, there are. How about for righteousness in the Old Testament? Let's take a look here at the Old Testament. 1 Samuel 24. This is when King Saul, remember, was hunting down David, and David could have slain him because Saul was given into his hand, and David held back his hand and didn't kill the king, because he was God's anointed. And so we read there that King Saul said to David, "You, David, are more righteous than I, for you have repaid me with good, whereas I have repaid you with evil." If a man falls, finds his enemy, will he let him go away safe? So may God, the Lord, reward you with good for what you've done to me this day. And now, behold, I know that you shall surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in your hand. So King Saul says, I'm righteous, but you're way more righteous than I am. And you're going to get rewarded for it, David. Is there a reward for the righteous in the Old Testament? David says, later on in Psalm 18, he says, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he recompensed me. You know, if you're in a war, and you're a soldier, and you're on kitchen duty, and you take out the trash, you're commended. That was your job. But if you, you know, leave the trash and cut behind enemy lines, unbeknownst, go into the castle first, win the day and conquer the enemy and return, you get a much greater reward because there was a much greater circumstance of risk involved with it and difficulty. You get a far higher honor and a far higher commendation. And so also with God. God rewards a man according to his works and in degrees, at least in the Old Testament. But you might say, that's just the Old Testament though. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, that's the old. We want to talk about the New Testament. Well, are there degrees of sin and punishment, of righteousness and reward in the New Testament? Let's take a look. Let's open up to, let's see if there's degrees of sin. You tell me, here's your quiz. Ready? I'm going to John chapter 19. Jesus is on trial before Pilate. And Pilate entered the praetorium again and said to Jesus, where are you from? Jesus gave no answer. Pilate therefore said to him, you will not speak to me? Do you not know that I have the power to release you and the power to crucify you? Jesus answered, you would have no power over me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me to you has the greater sin. Oh, would you say that there are degrees of sin in the New Testament? You know, Pilate had authority from God to do this, but also, you know, circumstantially, he didn't wake up that day saying, boy, I can't wait to put someone to death who's innocent. He was pressured into it, and because he was a weak man, poor in character, he fell into sin, and his sin was grievous. He condemned the Christ, handed him over unjustly. But Jesus says his sin was nothing as bad as those who handed Jesus over to him because they had no authority from God on this, and they did it out of pure, premeditated evil and spite. They have the greater sin. So you tell me, here's the quiz. Are there degrees of sin in the New Testament according to Jesus? Yeah. One had a greater sin, one a less. Both were bad, but one was greater. How about righteousness? Are there degrees of righteousness? Luke 6. I'm going to read this one. Jesus says, I say to you that here, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. To him who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. From him who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and of him who takes away your goods, do not ask them again. These are pretty great things for us to do. Jesus says, for if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? In other words, what reward are you going to get? For even sinners do that. And if you do good only to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do that. And if you only lend to those from whom you hope to get as much again, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do that. But love your enemies and do good and lend expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. So, is it righteous to love your friends? Yes, it is. It's more righteous to love your enemies. Is it righteous to do good to those who do good to you? Yes. Is it more righteous to do good to those who do evil to you? Yes. It's a greater credit to you. It's good to lend to people. That's righteous. But to lend and expect nothing in return when they can't repay you, that's even more righteous. And that brings a reward which Jesus calls great. Are there degrees of righteousness in the New Testament? Some receiving greater rewards than others? To be sure, yes, is the answer. So are there varying degrees of the punishment for varying sins in the Old Testament? Let's open up, in the New Testament. In Luke chapter 12. Now this is talking not just about rewards on earth or punishments on earth, but he's talking about his coming to judge the world. When he comes to judge the world on the last day, he's talking about the judgment of the wicked. And in Luke 12, verse 47, Jesus says, 47, he says, "And that servant who knew his master's will, but did not make ready or act according to his will, shall receive a severe beating." Say the word severe.
Severe.
"But he who did not know his master's will and did what deserved a beating shall receive a light beating." Say light.
Light.
Are both of these sins? Absolutely. They're both sins. But one had greater knowledge and got a stricter judgment, some more severe. The one didn't know so much and got a lighter one. So it's according to the proportions, just like the Old Testament. Think about, you know, based on what? The judgment is based on your works, and in this case, on your knowledge, on how much contact you had with the truth. Therefore, think about this. A witch doctor in the Amazon jungle who's worshiping evil spirits shall receive a lighter judgment, though he be judged and condemned, than a Christian, quote, pastor of a liberal persuasion who has the word of God, knowledge, contact with the truth, knows Jesus' name, and yet acts contrary to it and teaches contrary to it. He'll receive, or she will receive, a stricter, more severe beating than the one who did evil but did not know the master's will. Amen? Does that make sense? So there are differences. In hell, for those who go there, it's all unbearable, but based on how strong the punishment's going to be. Therefore, Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 11. It says, Jesus began to upbraid the cities where most of his mighty works had been done because they didn't repent. Verse 23, "Woe to you, Capernaum! Will you be exalted to heaven? You shall be brought down to Hades," he says. "For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I tell you, it shall be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom than for you." Wow, would you like to be in church that day when Jesus preached that one? Wow, I mean, he was really riling the people up. But notice, it's more tolerable for Sodom, which is one of the worst, you know, categorically, quintessentially worst cities in the history of mankind. Jesus says, they'll have an easier judgment on that day than for you, because if I'd done my works in their city, they would have repented. You've seen my works, you've heard my word, you've seen the Savior face to face, and you want to kill me, and therefore the judgment is going to be stricter on you based on contact. It's also based on responsibility. You know, if I'm a captain on a ship at sea, and my ship goes down, say I'm a Navy captain, you know, maybe everybody's at fault, but who's going to lose his position? Who's going to get the strictest judgment? Not the little swabby or deckhand. It's the captain. Because his position is higher, he gets a stricter judgment. And so James says, "Don't many of you become teachers, for we who teach shall be judged with the stricter judgment." So I preach in fear because, you know, I'll have a stricter judgment than you will, because I'm given a position of preaching it, at least publicly, and you privately. So there you go. Are there degrees of punishment in hell? Yes, there are. How about degrees of rewards for the righteous saints when Christ comes to judge the world? Let's open up to Luke 14, see what we read there. Turning a page to the right. We read this a moment ago. "When you give a dinner," Jesus says, "or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your kinsmen or your rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. You will be repaid at the resurrection of the just." So is there a reward for the righteous for their deeds? To be sure. At the resurrection, Jesus says, I personally will repay you for it in big measure. For the Bible says, Romans 2, verse 6, Paul says, God will render to every man according to his works. Peter says, God judges each one impartially according to his deeds. Paul says again, we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each may receive good or evil according to what he's done in his body. And in 1 Corinthians 3, each shall receive his wages according to his labor. We hear it again, according to his deeds. You know what that means? When I read this stuff and I study this stuff, that means I better get to work. It means I got precious little time, but I have an amazing opportunity that God has presented to me to go up and seek the rewards from his hands. Are you and I using our time wisely in this? Jesus told a story about the kingdom of God once, and he said, it's like this. A nobleman went into a far country to receive a kingdom. That's Jesus. And then return. Calling 10 of his servants, that's Christians, you and me, he gave to each of them a pound, and he said, trade with these until I come. Well, he went away, and then it says he comes back and commanded these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him that he might know what they'd gained by trading. The first came and said to him, Lord, your pound, here, it's made 10 pounds more. And he said to him, well done, good servant. You've been faithful in a very little. You shall have authority over 10 cities. Wow. And the second came, Lord, your pound has made 5 pounds. He said to him, and you are to be over 5 cities. The other came who hid his pound in his napkin. And the prince said to him, you should have put my money at least into the bank. And at my coming, I should have collected it with interest. And he said to those who stood by, take the pound from him and give it to him who has the 10 pounds. For to everyone who has will more be given, but from him who has not, even what he has shall be taken away. So, do you see that there is a variation? Hard work earns 10 pounds, 10 cities. Medium work earns 5 cities. No work, well, big trouble, right? But this is a word of good encouragement to us from God. He who reaps receives wages, gathers fruit for eternal life. Jesus says very clearly, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Don't waste your time on that. It's going to fly away. He says, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consume, and where thieves don't break in and steal. I am coming soon, Jesus says, bringing my recompense to repay everyone for what he has done in his deeds, in his body, in this earthly life. So there are degrees of rewards in heaven for the saints, and eternal rewards are these for work done here and now. So let me therefore ask you, based on this information, what should be our response to it? Well, use our time wisely. You know, a lot of Christians, I don't think, do this, myself included, wasted a lot of time watching, you know, YouTube videos I go through. Or, you know, maybe you watch tons of TV or live your life for sports or travel or restaurants or hobbies or entertainment that profit eternally nothing. Not that we can't do those things and enjoy ourselves with Thanksgiving, that's fine at times, but should we spend much time on those things? When we have precious little window, let's not whittle away our time, but get after it. Jesus says, go for it, go for the reward. Take these words and run for the reward. Because on that day when I come, you know, it'll, imagine it. And you, great Alexander, in the 5th century, you confess my name, though you were burned at the stake, here's your great reward. And you, Martha, in the 18th century, you knit all those blankets for the poor. Ah, great is your reward. Here it is. And you, of the 21st century, you watched lots of TV, traveled, and ate out. Wouldn't that be super embarrassing for us? So let's change and get that direction. You know, I was thinking this recently. You know, if I'm doing something that is not going to pass through the fire on the last day, what am I wasting my time on that for? Let me go for those things that are going to pass through the fire and earn for me a reward, because it's righteous to go after the reward. And my job as your pastor really is not only to give you the gospel, the free gift of eternal life in Jesus Christ, his righteousness, total free gift of grace to get you to heaven, but also to give you the greatest possible benefits there, the loftiest seat, the highest place. For there are seats in heaven. Hence we read, Jesus says in one place in Luke, he says, friend, go up higher. I want to get you to the highest possible place, and with me as well. And that in a beautiful way. So this little window of time that we have called earthly life, let's use it. It's hardly a more important message to prick up our ears, quicken our spirits, and to sharpen our eyes. For the Bible says, whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. And so go for the reward. Be the first to storm the castle and to win the day for the Lord. And let's stir each other up in this. To do acts of righteousness in love with zeal. And God is so for you in this, friends. So for you that he's even gone before you ahead of time to prepare the good deeds before you to walk in that he intends to reward you for. He can't wait to bless you with super rewards in the kingdom. Let's therefore run, that we might say with Paul at journey's end, I have fought the good fight, finished the race, and kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but to all who have loved his appearing. In Jesus' name, amen.